Chapter 41. Thought our young man with a deep recoil of all his being, while his limbs seemed too heavy to move. But it was a groundless alarm. He had to do now with a generation of conspirators who did not kiss each other on both cheeks, and raising an arm that felt like lead, he dropped his hand into a largely outstretched palm, fleshless and hot, as if dried up by fever, giving a bony pressure, expressive, seeming to say, "Between us there's no need of words." The man had big wide-open eyes. Razumov fancied he could see a smile behind their sadness. "This is Razumov," Sofia Antonovna repeated loudly for the benefit of the fat man, who at some distance displayed the profile of his stomach. No one moved. Everything, sounds, attitudes, movements, and immobility seemed to be part of an experiment, the result of which was a thin voice piping with comic peevishness, "Oh yes, Razumov. We have been hearing of nothing but Mr. Razumov for months. For my part, I confess I would rather have seen Alden on this spot instead of Mr. Razumov." The squeaky stress put on the name Azimov, Mr. Razumov, pierced the ear ridiculously, like the falsetto of a circus clown beginning an elaborate joke. Astonishment was Razumov's first response, followed by sudden indignation. "What's the meaning of this?" he asked in a stern tone. "Tut! Silliness! He's always like that." Sofia Antonovna was obviously vexed. But she dropped the information, "Nikator," from her lips just loud enough to be heard by Razumov. The abrupt squeaks of the fat man seemed to proceed from that thing like a balloon he carried under his overcoat. The stolidity of his attitude, the big feet, the lifeless, hanging hands, the enormous bloodless cheek, the thin wisps of hair straggling down the fat nape of the neck, fascinated Razumov into a stare on the verge of horror and laughter. "Nikita, surname Nikator, with a sinister aptness of alliteration." Razumov had heard of him. He had heard so much since crossing the frontier of the celebrities of the militant revolution. The legends, the stories, the authentic chronicle, which now and then peeps out before a half-incredulous world. Razumov had heard of him. He was supposed to have killed more gendarmes and police agents than any revolutionist living. He had been entrusted with executions. The paper with the letters N. NN, the very pseudonym of murder, found pinned on the stabbed breast of a certain notorious spy, this picturesque detail of a sensational murder case had got into the newspapers, was the mark of his handiwork. Why order of the committee? N. N. A corner of the curtain lifted to strike the imagination of the gaping world. He was said to have been innumerable times in and out of Russia, the Nikator of bureaucrats, of provincial governors, of obscure informers. He lived between whiles, Razumov had heard, on the shores of the Lake of Como, with a charming wife, devoted to the cause, and two young children. But how could that creature, so grotesque as to set town dogs barking at its mere sight, go about on those deadly errands and slip through the meshes of the police? "What now? What now?" the voice squeaked. "I'm only sincere. It's not denied that the other was the leading spirit. Well, it would have been better if he had been the one spared to us. More useful. I am not a sentimentalist. Say what I think. Only natural." Squeak, 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 without a gesture, without a stir, the horrible squeaky burlesque of professional jealousy, this man of a sinister alliterative nickname, this executioner of revolutionary verdicts, the terrifying N. N.N. exasperated like a fashionable tenor by the attention attracted to the performance of an obscure amateur. Sofia Antonovna shrugged her shoulders. The comrade with the martial red mustache hurried towards Razumov, full of conciliatory intentions in his strong buzzing voice. "Devil take it. And in this place too, in the public street, so to speak. But you can see yourself how it is. One of his fantastic sallies. Absolutely of no consequence." "Pray don't concern yourself," cried Razumov, going off into a long fit of laughter. "On mention it. The other, his hectic flesh like a pair of burns on his cheekbones, stared for a moment and burst out laughing too. Razumov, whose hilarity died out all at once, made a step forward. Enough of this, he began in a clear, incisive voice, though he could hardly control the trembling of his legs. We'll have no more of it. I shall not permit anyone. I can see very well what you are at with those illusions. Inquire, investigate. I defy you, but I will not be played with. He had spoken such words before. He had been driven to cry them out in the face of other suspicions. It was an infernal cycle bringing round that protest like a fatal necessity of his existence. But it was no use. He would be always played with. Luckily life does not last forever. I won't have it, he shouted, striking his fist into the palm of his other hand. Kirill Sidorovich, what has come to you? The woman revolutionist interfered with authority. They were all looking at Razumov now. The slayer of spies and gendarmes had turned about, presenting his enormous stomach in full, like a shield. Don't shout. There are people passing. Sofia Antonovna was apprehensive of another outburst. A steam launch from Monrepo's had come to the landing stage opposite the gate. Its hoarse whistle and the churning noise alongside, all unnoticed, had landed a small bunch of local passengers who were dispersing their several ways. Only a specimen of early tourist in knickerbockers, conspicuous by a brand new yellow leather glass case, hung about for a moment, scenting something unusual about these four people within the rusty iron gates of what looked the grounds run wild of an unoccupied private house. Ah! If he had only known what the chance of commonplace traveling had suddenly put in his way. But he was a well-bred person. He averted his gaze and moved off with short steps along the avenue, on the watch for a tramcar. A gesture from Sofia Antonovna, leave him to me, had sent the two men away, the buzzing of the inarticulate voice growing fainter and fainter, and the thin pipe of hat now? What's the matter? Reduced to the proportions of a squeaking toy by the distance. They had left him to her. So many things could be left safely to the experience of Sofia Antonovna. And at once, her black eyes turned to Razumov. Her mind tried to get at the heart of that outburst. It had some meaning. No one is born an active revolutionist. The change comes disturbingly, with the force of a sudden vocation, bringing in its train agonizing doubts, assertive violences, an unstable state of the soul, till the final appeasement of the convert in the perfect fierceness of conviction. She had seen often but only divine scores of these young men and young women going through an emotional crisis. This young man looked like a moody egotist. And besides, it was a specially unique case. As he had never met an individuality which interested and puzzled her so much. Take care, Razumov, my good friend. If you carry on like this, you will go mad. You are angry with everybody and bitter with yourself, and on the lookout for something to torment yourself with. It's intolerable. Razumov could only speak in gasps. You must admit that I can have no illusions on the attitude which... It isn't clear. Or rather only too clear. He made a gesture of despair. It was not his courage that failed him. The choking fumes of falsehood had taken him by the throat. The thought of being condemned to struggle on and on in that tainted atmosphere without the hope of ever renewing his strength by a breath of fresh air. A glass of cold water is what you want. Sofia Antonovna glanced up the grounds at the house and shook her head, then out of the gate at the brimful placidity of the lake. With a half-comical shrug of the shoulders, she gave the remedy up in the face of that abundance. It is you, my dear soul, who are flinging yourself at something which does not exist. What is it? Self-reproach, or what? It's absurd. You couldn't have gone and given yourself up because your comrade was taken. She remonstrated with him reasonably, at some length too. He had nothing to complain of in his reception. Every newcomer was discussed more or less. Everybody had to be thoroughly understood before being accepted. No one that she could remember had been shown from the first so much confidence. Soon, very soon, perhaps sooner than he expected, he would be given an opportunity of showing his devotion to the sacred task of crushing the infamy. Razumov, listening quietly, thought Colin, it may be that she is trying to lull my suspicions to sleep. On the other hand, it is obvious that most of them are fools. He moved aside a couple of paces, and, folding his arms on his breast, leaned back against the stone pillar of the gate. As to what remains obscure in the fate of that poor Alden, Sofia Antonovna dropped into a slowness of utterance which was to Razumov like the falling of molten lead drop by drop. As to that, though no one ever hinted that either from fear or neglect your conduct has not been what it should have been, well, I have a bit of intelligence. Razumov could not prevent himself from raising his head, and Sofia Antonovna nodded slightly. I have. You remember that letter from St. Petersburg I mentioned to you a moment ago? The letter? Perfectly. Some busybody has been reporting my conduct on a certain day. It's rather sickening. I suppose our police are greatly edified when they open these interesting and superfluous letters. Oh dear no. The police do not get hold of our letters as easily as you imagine. The letter in question did not leave St. Petersburg till the ice broke up. It went by the first English steamer which left the Neva this spring. They have a fireman on board one of us, in fact. It has reached me from Hull. She paused, as if she were surprised at the sullen fixity of Razumov's gaze, but went on at once, and much faster. We have some of our people there who... but never mind. The writer of the letter relates an incident which he thinks may possibly be connected with Alden's arrest. I was just going to tell you when those two men came along. That also was an incident, muttered Razumov, of a very charming kind for me. Leave off that, cried Sofia Antonovna. Nobody cares for Nikita's barking. There's no malice in him. Listen to what I have to say. You may be able to throw a light. There was in St. Petersburg a sort of town peasant, a man who owned horses. He came to town years ago to work for some relation as a driver and ended by owning a cab or two. She might well have spared herself the slight effort of the gesture, colon, wait. Razumov did not mean to speak. He could not have interrupted her now, not to save his life. The contraction of his facial muscles had been involuntary, a mere surface stir, leaving him sullenly attentive as before. He was not a quite ordinary man of his class, it seems, she went on. The people of the house my informant talked with, many of them you know, one of those enormous houses of shame and misery. Sofia Antonovna need not have enlarged on the character of the house. Razumov saw clearly, towering at her back, a dark mass of masonry veiled in snowflakes, with the long row of windows of the eating shop shining greasily very near the ground. The ghost of that night pursued him. He stood up to it with rage and with weariness. Did the late Alden ever by chance speak to you of that house? Sofia Antonovna was anxious to know. Yes. Razumov, making that answer, wondered whether he were falling into a trap. It was so humiliating to lie to these people that he probably could not have said no. He mentioned to me once, he added, as if making an effort of memory, a house of that sort. He used to visit some workmen there. Exactly. Sofia Antonovna triumphed. Her correspondent had discovered that fact quite accidentally from the talk of the people of the house, having made friends with a workman who occupied a room there. They described Alden's appearance perfectly. He brought comforting words of hope into their misery. He came irregularly, but he came very often, and her correspondent wrote sometimes he spent a night in the house, sleeping, they thought, in a stable which opened upon the inner yard. Note that, Razumov. In a stable. Razumov had listened with a sort of ferocious but amused acquiescence. Yes. In the straw. It was probably the cleanest spot in the whole house. No doubt, assented the woman with that deep frown which seemed to draw closer together her black eyes in a sinister fashion. No four-footed beast could stand the filth and wretchedness so many human beings were condemned to suffer from in Russia. The point of this discovery was that it proved Alden to have been familiar with that horse-owning peasant, a reckless, independent, free-living fellow not much liked by the other inhabitants of the house. He was believed to have been the associate of a band of housebreakers. Some of these got captured. Not while he was driving them, however, but still there was a suspicion against the fellow of having given a hint to the police and... The woman revolutionist checked herself suddenly. And you? Have you ever heard your friend refer to a certain Zamyanich? Razumov was ready for the name. He had been looking out for the question. When it comes I shall own up, he had said to himself. But he took his time. To be sure, he began slowly. Zamyanich, a peasant owning a team of horses. Yes. On one occasion. Zamyanich. Certainly. Zamyanich of the horses. How could it have slipped my memory like this? One of the last conversations we had together. That means, Sofia Antonovna looked very grave. That means, Razumov, it was very shortly before, eh? Before what? Shouted Razumov, advancing at the woman, who looked astonished, but stood her ground. Ever. Oh. Of course, it was before. How could it have been after? Only a few hours before. And he spoke of him favorably? With enthusiasm. The horses of Zamyanich. The free soul of Zamyanich. Razumov took a savage delight in the loud utterance of that name, which had never before crossed his lips audibly. He fixed his blazing eyes on the woman till at last her fascinated expression recalled him to himself. The late Alden, he said, holding himself in, with downcast eyes, was inclined to take sudden fancies to people, on what shall I say insufficient grounds. There. Sofia Antonovna clapped her hands. Hat, to my mind, settles it. The suspicions of my correspondent were aroused. Aha. Your correspondent, Razumov said in an almost openly mocking tone. What suspicions? How aroused? By this Zamyanich? Probably some drunken, gabbling, plausible. You talk as if you had known him. Razumov looked up. No. But I knew Alden. Sofia Antonovna nodded gravely. I see. Every word you say confirms to my mind the suspicion communicated to me in that very interesting letter. This Zamyanich was found one morning hanging from a hook in the stable dead. Razumov felt a profound trouble. It was visible, because Sofia Antonovna was moved to observe vivaciously, aha! You begin to see. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.